John's Gospel, chapter 12. John 12 and verse 32. This is the Lord Jesus speaking. And I, if I be lifted up out of the earth, will draw all to me. But this he said, signifying by what death he was about to die. Prophet Hosea, after Daniel, chapter 11. When Israel was a child, then I loved him. As out of Egypt I called my son, as they called him. So they went from them. They sacrificed unto the Baals and burned incense to the graven images. And I it was that taught Ephraim to walk. He took them upon his arms, but they knew not that I healed them. I drew them with the bands of a man and with cords of love. I was to them as they that take off the yoke and the jaws, and I gently caused them to eat. And in the second chapter, same book, Hosea 2, verse 14. Therefore, behold, I will allure her and bring her into the wilderness and speak to her heart. And I will give her her vineyards from thence and the valley of Achor for a door of hope. And she shall sing there, as in the days of her youth, and as in the day when she came up out of the land of Egypt. And it shall be in that day, saith Jehovah, that thou shalt call me my husband. So on. And in Song of Songs, chapter 5, Song of Songs, chapter 5, and verse 9. What is thy beloved more than another beloved, thou fairest among women? What is thy beloved more than another beloved, that thou dost so charge us? My beloved is white and ruddy, the chiefest among 10,000. His head is as the finest gold. His locks are flowing black as the raven. His eyes are like doves by the water brooks, washed with milk fitly set. His cheeks are as a bed of spices, raised beds of sweet plants. His lips lilies, dropping liquid myrrh. His hands gold rings set with a chrysolite. His belly is bright ivory overlaid with sapphires. His legs pillars of marble set upon bases of fine gold. His bearing is Lebanon, excellent as the cedars. His mouth is most sweet. Yea, he is altogether lovely. This is my beloved. Yea, this is my friend. O daughters of Jerusalem. Whither is thy beloved gone, thou fairest among women? Whither is thy beloved turned aside? And we will seek him with thee. Is there a reference in Philippians? Philippians 3 and verse 8. Surely I count also all things to be lost on account of the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord. On account of whom? I have suffered the loss of all and count them to be filth, that I may gain Christ. I want to speak about the attractiveness of Christ, the drawing power of Christ. We're living in a world that still has no room for Christ. His name is Saul of the Drunkard. Satan has claimed the earth for himself, but it belongs to Christ. He's coming. Claim it. But we have to move here through such a world in fidelity to Christ. We're to be held in affection, in freshness of affection for Christ. You know, I begun with the cross. What was it that drew you to Jesus, my friend, dear Christian? Is everyone here being drawn to the cross? You young ones, have you surrendered your heart to Christ? How important it is to come to the cross. I make no apology for beginning with the glad tidings. You see, I didn't come here to hear the gospel. Well, if you don't have Christ in your heart, you need the gospel. I can't make assumptions. But you know, what a thing it would be If you were drawn to the cross tonight, what is it that brings you to the cross? It's your need as a sinner brings you to the cross. What was it brought Jesus to the cross? It was love. Love for you and for me. He loved me ere I knew him. What a friend that is to find, you know. Oh, that persons would be drawn to the cross tonight. The Lord says, I, if I be lifted up, will draw all to me. Think of him, the Lord of glory, suspended there between heaven and earth. He couldn't die on earth when he had glorified God. He couldn't die in heaven. He died suspended between heaven and earth. Lifted up was he to die. Was he there for himself? Not a bit of it. He was there for you and for I. All the attractiveness of Christ would come before you as you realize your sinnership and need of a Saviour. And Christ is the Saviour of sinners. And so you begin tonight by being drawn to the cross. And like Christian of old, you know, as you realize that Jesus was there for you, he was your substitute, who himself bore our sins in his body on the tree. That was Peter. What an appreciation he had of the one who went to Calvary for him. I, witnesses of his sufferings. His sufferings were immense and were occasioned on your behalf and mine. But I would love that you would be drawn to the cross tonight. And if you've never trusted this wonderful Saviour, that you may do so right now, where you are in your seat. Don't put it off for a moment longer. He wants to receive you. He wants to bless you. What did they say about Jesus? This man receives sinners and eats with them. He's still doing it. He's still receiving sinners. And you know what? You come as you are. That's how you come to Jesus. You come as you are. Jesus, take me as I am. He will, you know. He'll take you tonight as you are if you come in repentance. I, if I be lifted up, will draw all to me. Well, if you've never been to the cross, come now before it's too late. But you know there is a side on which we are never to leave the cross. The cross is a great preservation for the believer, you know. It's a great preservation in a world that has no room for Christ. And you know, sometimes we get away and get a bit, we get away from the Lord. I'm not speaking about anybody in this room apart from myself, and I'm not trying to draw attention to myself. But if we're honest, there are times in our lives when we're not so close to the Lord as we may have been. And you know, it's my exercise that everybody in this room should be in communion with the Lord, that they will be drawn back to him. If you've got a way in your soul, that you may be drawn back to him. Mm-hmm. You know, I can tell you that if you've got a way from the Lord, he wants you back. Mm-hmm. He wants you back. Never stop loving you. Never stop loving you. And we sometimes find it difficult to love people who get away from us. But you know, the Lord never stops loving you. Never. His love is unconditional. Wonderful. The love of Christ. If you've got a way in your affections, would you, you'll be brought back tonight. Hosea, you know, is a prophet who deals with a low moral state in the people of God. But you know, the feelings of God are coming out through the prophet. But even Jeremiah, you know, Jeremiah 2, that when God says, I remember for thee the love of thine espousals. There was a time when they were stronger in their love for the Lord. You may have forgotten that, but he's never forgotten that, you know. When thou wentest after me in the wilderness, in a land not sown, you know, he's never forgotten the day that you gave your heart to him. What a precious day in your life. And I challenge you, is the Lord still as bright in your life and in your heart as that day when you first gave your heart to Christ? It says, when Israel was a child, then I loved her. Think of the love that he had for his people. Think of the waywardness. Think of the way that they went into idolatry. Did he cease loving them? Not a bit of it. You may place yourself in a situation where you're not able to appreciate the love of Christ, like the younger son did, you know. That's what happened to him. The father never stopped loving him, not a bit of it. But he placed himself in a situation where he wasn't able to appreciate that love. But you know, the father's looking out. Looking out. Looking out for his return. What's the first thing they knew? The father ran and covered him with kisses. He knew that the father still loved him. He had gone away, but he knew that the father's love was still towards him. And you know, I know that Israel have got away. But where are they today? Has God given them up? Not a bit of it. A remnant will be brought through. And these promises given to the patriarchs will be brought through and fulfilled in it completely. But the feelings of God come out here. I was that taught Ephraim to walk. Think of that. He took them upon his arms, but they knew not that I had healed them. Have you forgotten, dear believer, what Christ has done for you? He was wounded for your transgressions. Iniquity was your iniquity was placed upon him. Have you forgotten that? He knew not that it was I that healed them. I drew them with the bands of my man, with cords of love. Think of that. Think of the cords of love. He drew me with the cords of love. That's what drew you to the cross. Cords of love, you know. That's what will hold you. The cords of love. You know, I think of Mary of Magdala. Held by the cords of love. At the grave. Well, you see, she wasn't too intelligent. Do you love the Lord like Mary of Magdala loved the Lord? She was held at that grave by the cords of love. Christ was everything to Mary of Magdala. She had nothing else. Now, I challenge my own heart, and I challenge your heart. What is Christ mean to you? She had a wonderful revelation. I know that she couldn't hold Christ where he was. That's what she wanted. She wanted to hold him in the condition of flesh and blood that she'd known him, and he was in a new condition. But what a wonderful unfolding of his love and light that she got, you know, held by the cords of love. Oh, that you would understand what it means to be held by the love of Christ, a love that will never let you go. Think of that. Oh, love that will never let me go. What a love the love of Christ is. What's your response to such a love, you know? Is there room for anything else in your heart but Christ? You know, Satan's made the world a very attractive place. You know, 24/7, we hear a lot about 24/7. I think that's a concept of Satan. 24/7. Keep man occupied. Keep him away from the Lord. That's what the world is, you know. Set up independent of God. Let us be kept apart from such a scene. Let us be kept in freshness of affection for Christ. Well, at the start of the book, he says, I will allure her. I will allure her. I love that, you know. This is in regard to the remnant of Israel in the day to come. They will be drawn by the love of Christ. And I think, dear believer, that's what he wants to do to you tonight. He wants to allure you away from a scene that has rejected him into the wilderness. What does it speak of? It speaks of a place where you'll be maintained by Christ and by Christ alone. You know how ready we find sources of refreshment in the world system. I speak for myself. If it applies to you, then fair enough. But I speak for myself. How ready we are to find our sources of refreshment in the world. And how transient they are. They that seek to allure you. Allure you with his love. Draw you away from that. To find the beauty and satisfaction and joy in himself. You know, we don't need to go outside of Christ or anything. Nothing. All that I need in thee to find. These hymns, you know, they're instructive. They're the result of personal experience with the Lord. What can we say about him? What can we say, you know? Well, the beloved, the spouse in the song was asked, what can you say about him? What can you say about him? Can you tell forth the excellencies of him who has called you out of darkness into his wonderful light? What can we say about Jesus? You know, the thing about the spouse here is that she was actually away from the Lord. That's where she was. It's quite amazing how it unfolds. You come had come to her, and she was too taken up with other things to receive him. She was too tardy, too slow as he came, and he went away. And then she had to go through deep exercise, as missing the Lord, her beloved. And she spoke to the daughters of Jerusalem about him. And they said, what is he? What is he? Why is he so great? Why is he so attractive? What is he more than another? What can we say about him? If we're asked the question, and you know, as she goes down this list of qualities, she's brought the one that she loves. She's brought back in her heart and in her spirit to the one that she loves. You know, it's beautiful. The language that she uses. This could only have been said by one who was close to the Lord. Something that she had enjoyed, but for the moment she wasn't enjoying. But she had desire in her heart that communion with her beloved might be regained. So she speaks, my beloved is white and ruddy, the chiefest among 10,000. Think of the purity and moral excellence of Christ. That's what she says. White and ruddy. You know, think of the Lord moving here in Manu. How attractive that life was, you know. It either attracted or it repelled. That's the truth, you know. For some were drawn to him, and others, it brought out hatred, because what the Lord was exposed what every other man was, a life so different from every other life. The chiefest among 10,000. You know, it doesn't do to compare Christ to anyone else, but it might help us It might be a help to us, but actually, he's beyond compare. He's beyond compare. The chiefest among 10,000. Thou hast loved righteousness and hated lawlessness. Therefore God, thy God, has anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy companions. The chiefest among 10,000. No one to be compared to Christ. You know, as we've been reminded, he loved righteousness so much that he died to secure it. He hated lawlessness so much that he died to remove it. The chiefest among 10,000. His head has the finest gold. Think of the divinity of Christ, you know. That's an important point. Who was he? Who was he? None other than the blessed God. That's who was here, moving in manhood. But what strikes you as you read this is there's no deterioration. You have the head of gold, you have the hands of gold, and you have the feet of gold. When it comes to Nebuchadnezzar, you know, you have the head of gold right down to the iron clay. The corruption and mixture that we have today, you know. But there's no deterioration here, you know. The head of gold. Locks flowing, black as the raven. No aging. The vigor maintained here. Thy years never fail. Jesus Christ the same. Yesterday, and today, and to the ages to come, you know. How he's always the same towards us. No grey hairs here. You find the white hair in Revelation, you know. John saw it. John, in his closeness to the Lord, saw him then in a way that he'd never seen him before. And he fell at his feet as dead. There is the maturity of Christ in judgment. That was a judicial scene. It sees his hair white. But here is the freshness of what is maintained by him. And you know, the assembly will answer to this. The bride, freshness, the freshness of what's for Christ eternally. She's held as a bride for him. You know, wonderful that. The answer to the heart of Christ maintained in freshness of eternally. And he goes on, his eyes, he goes on his eyes like doves by the water brooks, washed with milk, fitly set. Think of the pity and compassion in these eyes. Think of these eyes looking round the company tonight, looking at you, dear believer. Think of these eyes lighting upon Peter. The Lord turning round and looked at Peter. Was there any condemnation in these eyes? No. There was love in these eyes. Do you know what the Lord was facing? Think of the awfulness of what lay ahead of him. And yet he turns round and looks at Peter. Peter was on a downward path. He denied that he even knew the Lord. You're on such a path tonight. Wouldn't you get a sense of the Lord's eyes upon you, looking up to you, saying to you that I went to Calvary's cross for you? Are you not prepared to own me? Are you not prepared to testify for me? Are you prepared to deny me? You know, we speak about Peter, but how many times, dear believer, have you passed up on an opportunity of confessing the name of Christ? You know, that's like denying that you even know him. Let us be ready to give an account of the hope that's in us. The eyes of Jesus, looking round, seeing, knowing what's in your heart, knowing what you're thinking. Eyes of blessing, eyes of compassion, but eyes of perfect judgment. Fitly said. Says of the Lord that he looked round on everything in the temple. He looked round on everything and take account of everything. You know, all it took to recover Peter was a look from the Lord. Would that I was as recoverable as that. His cheeks as a bed of spices, raised beds of sweet plants. Think of the attractiveness of Christ. But you know, think of the fragrance that arose to heaven. Think of the smiting of Christ. He says, I gave my back to the smiters, my cheeks to those that plucked out the hair. Think of what an incense rare ascended to the blessed God through the sufferings of Christ. His lips, lilies. Says they wondered at the words of grace that came out of his mouth. That's what the lilies would speak of. The words of grace, you know. These men were sent to arrest them. What did they say? No man speaks as this man speaks. They couldn't but be affected by the words of Jesus. How he speaks in grace. How he speaks tonight. How he would delight to bring you back. Bring you back into communion with himself, you know. His hands, gold rings, set with a chrysalis, the king of all, has been committed into the hands of Christ. You know, all judgment, all government has been committed into these hands. The divine seal is upon these hands. Everything committed to Christ. What a day it will be when we see it in actuality. And then his belly, bright ivory, overlaid with sapphires. Think of the compassions, the feelings of Christ, you know. Perfection of them. You know, you and I may sympathize, but our sympathy is tainted. There's no taint in the sympathy of Christ. He's able to enter into the circumstances of one another because no one has suffered as he has suffered. You know, if you're going through deep waters, you know, the Lord knows about it. He knows. He knows what sorest trials mean, for he has felt the same. You know, we pass you through deep waters, but I'll support you every part of the way. What a Saviour Jesus is, you know. You may learn, you may have an opportunity of learning his love in a way that you might never otherwise have had. That's a precious thing. A very precious thing. Don't kick against chastening the Lord. It's very, very valuable. As you accept it from his hand and seek his support through it. His love is behind it. The compassions of Christ. His legs, pillars of marble, set upon bases of fine gold. He shall be the stability of thy times. In the midst of a world that is unstable, we find stability in Christ. The immovability of marble, bases of fine gold. Again, we find the divinity of Christ. Is something that we can completely trust and rely upon. That's what I find in Christ. His bearing is Lebanon. His bearing is Lebanon. Think of the dignity of Christ as he moved here, you know. Looking at Jesus as he walked, John says, behold the Lamb of God. You know, I think of him as he came out from Pilate's hall. The crown of thorns and a purple robe. It says Jesus came forth. The dignity of Christ in such a scene. Never were things given in such mockery and derision and worn with such dignity. His bearing as Lebanon. Think of the dignity of Christ. His mouth is most sweet. This is intimate. This is very intimate. Have you tasted that the Lord is good? Would you not like to get back to tasting? This tasting. Lord, in thee we taste the sweetness of a tree of life above. His mouth is most sweet. How could she have known that? Only through her intimacy with her beloved. You know, I think, and I speak for myself, that true communion with Christ is something we don't know too much about. But I leave that with you. It's more than just praying to Him. It's seeking His presence. It's trusting in Him for everything. It's living day by day, hour by hour, in communion with Him. And I think we know glimpses of it. And I think He's ready for the closest walk with you, my friend. My dear believer, are you ready for that? His mouth is most sweet. Yea, He is altogether lovely. I can't say any more. He's altogether lovely. What's the result? We will go after Him. We will come with thee. Others are attracted in. Can I present my Saviour, my Lord, my friend, my guide, in such a way that others are attracted? Could I be held there in freshness of affection for Christ, in order that my testimony might be effective? To God, it's true of me, increasingly, and true of every one of us here. Well, what can you say about Jesus? What can Paul say, the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord? I love these words. Where is he? He's in a Roman jail. That's where he is. He's nothing materially. It's all gone. Everything. He suffered the loss of all through his contact with Christ. And there was no regrets whatever. On account of the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord. This is a man who's in communion with Christ. This is a man who has nothing naturally. Nothing. See, how can you be so happy in your circumstances? Because of his communion with Christ. His enjoyment of the love of Christ that reached him in that Roman jail. Came to Jeremiah, didn't it? Behold, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. That came to Paul. Nothing could remove him from that love. No Roman jail, nothing. No martyrdom, nothing could remove him from that love, which was the love of God, which was expressed in Christ. He's enjoying it here. He's no regrets. You know, we like to hang on to things, don't we? Oh, if I could just keep that, you know. The Lord wants everything. He's entitled to everything. He wants your heart. He wants your life. He wants everything. Is he not worthy? Well, I would encourage anyone here. I don't know where you are with the Lord, but I would assure you that if you've got away, if you've got down in your Christian walk, if there's perhaps a little coldness come in your affection for Christ, would that you'll be brought back now. He wants you back. He wants you to experience his love. He wants you to be here alive in the testimony. He wants you to be ready and waiting for his soon return. May you be so. May our hearts be firmly attached to Christ, for his name's sake. Amen. Amen.